Details, Alan. Details, details, details.
It's all in the details.
That's right.
What I say.
Yeah, it's all in the details.
Mm-hmm.
Do you pay attention to details?
I do. I think I'm detail-oriented. Yeah.
You think? You're not sure?
I think I am. I like to think I am. I like to make sure everything's run along nicely and prepared for. And
you cross everything off the list.
Yeah. Eliminate surprises as much as possible. But, you know, a surprise every now and again is nice. Keep you on your toes, as long as it's a good surprise.
Right, it's not like a project-killing surprise.
No, that wouldn't be good.
No, that would be terrible.
That would be awful. No. Who would do that?
We're going to talk about details today.
Good, good. Hopefully I'll learn something.
Yeah, hopefully I will too, because I'm historically, throughout my life, I've been terrible about details. I'm the overarching kind of guy,
right.
And I always left somebody else to do the details, and that doesn't work anymore, so we got to really pay attention to the details, Alan.
Okay. Suppose I should read the script then, will I?
I think the details of this show start off right at the top of the script.
On that note, I'm Alan.
And I'm Griffin. This is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information, inspiration, and details you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And by the way, this is episode 59. Mm-hmm. Welcome back, Alan.
Hey, thank you, Griff. How was Brian last week?
Oh, Brian was okay. He was fine, but he's no Alan.
Oh, of course not.
I mean, he's definitely a good fallback for those times you go missing.
I didn't go missing. I was busy with another engagement.
Of course you were. Let's just say both of you have your own specific strengths, and we'll leave it at that. So, Alan, what's on tap for this week's episode 59?
It's all about the details this week, and specifically, we are focusing on photos.
Mm.
We'll listen in on part two of our conversation with Monica Gamboa and eBay VP of Seller Experience, Harry Temkin, regarding photos and the new still-in-beta image cleaner tool.
Ooh, I like that one. That's the one that turns your background pure white, right?
Exactly.
Oh, if I could only have that for my life, will it clean my room?
Yeah, me
if
too.
If I could just, like, point the camera at my room and it cleans the whole thing.
Please, eBay. Yeah, okay. Help us out.
And then following that interview, I'll change seats as correspondent Liz Austin interviews me about product photography for eBay.
Oh, wow. So you're the guest speaker then?
Well, for that segment, I am. And, you know, it's been a while since I've been the interview subject, so I hope I haven't forgotten how to do it.
You'll be fine. You've been around the block a few times.
Yeah, it shows, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And we'll also talk about the importance of disaster preparedness for your business on eBay as we check in with Casey Kempton of Chubb Insurance. Shall we begin?
Let's.
Okay, then. On to the buzz.
So, Alan, what's the buzz in the community this week?
Well, first off, we saw a reaction to an email eBay sent regarding managed payments. The subject included the words action acquired, seemed to cause some concerns, as you can imagine. Because when you read the email, there wasn't necessarily any action required.
Those are strong words, action required. Probably not the best foot to start off on here.
Yeah, that's right. So the email was worded as a request to join managed payments with no indication of a requirement.
So let's clear this up then. So for sellers, there is no requirement right now to join managed payments, but sellers eventually will be converted in batches to managed payments as time goes on.
Yeah, my advice to sellers will be to make sure you keep an eye on your emails, both your email and your eBay messages, because it will become mandatory and you don't want to miss out.
And when we say mandatory, I think it's important to understand that this journey that we're on, transforming from our old system, relying on other payment services like PayPal, to an eBay managed payment system, this isn't an option.
Correct.
This will be the only way you can get paid on eBay. The only way.
That's right.
So I want to dispel that notion that some people said, well, I'll just hold on to the old way. No, you won't, because in a year or two, it's gone.
Yeah, and newer sellers eventually, when newer sellers sign up, this will be the only experience that they're aware of, and they won't know of the previous PayPal world that we had. So advice for me is keep an eye on your emails, because more info will be coming soon. Sellers can go to ebay.com/payments for full information on managed payments, or also participate in the payments discussion board over on the community at community.ebay.com.
Is there anything sellers have to do right now? Is there anything they should do?
Keep an eye on their emails and my messages.
Yeah.
They will receive an email when it's their time to participate. So we, as you mentioned, we will be doing it in batches, and we will invite sellers when we feel it's right for their business. And as we talked about, it will be the only way to transact on eBay.
Right. An important note here. There's an option on eBay that any seller or buyer can choose to opt out of receiving marketing messages and email from eBay.
That's right.
If you are a seller, some of those emails that you're opting out on will have important information about things like payments, internet sales tax, new features. Please go into your site preferences and opt in for those messages. It's not a big deal. If you don't like them, You can filter them over time and just have them deleted. You want to hear from us regularly, so don't opt out. Make sure you're signed up for those.
Yeah.
What else, Alan?
There was a lot of promoted listings discussion recently as well. Sellers have been discussing the benefits of promoting their listings versus the added cost to their business. Some sellers have told us that promoting their listings improved their sales, while others noticed a decrease in sales when they promoted their inventory. What do you think, Griff?
Well, there's probably a lot going on here, and it could certainly come down to things like what's hot or selling or trending and what's not. Don't take this personally, because sellers take this so personally sometimes. Sometimes some of the merchandise that you have just doesn't have any interest to buyers at the moment. Mm-hmm. It happens. So don't worry about that. Promoted listings get you more exposure. They're not going to guarantee a sale. If an item isn't of interest to buyers, promoting it may not result in a change in their interest. You have to look at your listings. You have to check your traffic to those listings to see what the interest is, and also check past sales to see if it's an item that's of interest to some of the buyers right now. And make sure your listing is optimized for those buyers and for search. And look at your competition as well, especially on this point, price. Now, I suspect some sellers using promoted listings without success assume that placement trumps price in a buyer's eyes, and it doesn't. I can tell you as a buyer myself, I've seen many examples of this within a list of return results for one of my searches, where the promoted listing or listings in some case have a price much higher than the items that are identical and directly below them in search. That top placement is not going to get your item sold if it isn't competitively priced. So don't just rely on promoted listings themselves. You have to make sure the item's attractive to begin with.
Exactly. Thank you, Griff, for all that wisdom.
And you're welcome.
If you don't believe us, you can always get advice from other sellers over on the community, or you can go to ebay.com/sellercenter and search for promoted listings.
Well, that rant wore me out. So what else do you have, Alan?
Yeah, well, more Goodwill Cancel has popped up again.
Oh, dear.
There's still a lot of confusion out there as to how Goodwill Cancel works. So hopefully people listen to the podcast, because we've talked about it quite a bit. So on the community, a lot of sellers have been posting and clearing up misperceptions and working to calm the fears of others. I guess those are listeners to our podcast. For example, sellers mention now that they spend less time on listing upkeep as they put their listing up. They don't have to worry about when it ends. It just stays up there forever.
Right. And you don't want to take a good until canceled listing and end it and relist it over and over. I know you're trying to mimic your old practices when there were short duration. It's not going to help you. It's not going to increase your sales, and it's not going to increase your position in search on eBay. Instead of ending it and relisting it, lower the price. I got to tell you, I feel another
rant number two.
So I'm seriously back into selling.
Okay.
I've added in the last 2 weeks 150 items to my inventory. That's a lot for me.
It is. Right? It's a lot for everyone.
I'm selling well. But the only way I'm selling in my categories is every night I go, I see how many people are watching, I check my traffic, and for those that have watchers and even those that don't, I lower the price a dollar. And I'll do this on a regular basis, and those items sell.
Nice.
Buyers are finding them. Not relisting them and ending them and relisting them and trying to game and trying to say, I'm going to get on top of some search. No, you're not. I'm taking care of the listing by making it attractive to buyers, and I'm not going through any other extra work. Okay, rant over.
Yeah, and it's also terrible for search engines. When you post a listing, it takes time for your listing to gather impressions and to make its way up to search. So if you keep ending your listing every couple of weeks, you're basically starting from zero again, and you need to build it up. And for any sellers that were at eBay Open, you would have saw Harry Temkin talk about new features that are coming to the buyer experience on eBay.
Yeah.
And one of them is buy again. So you go back to eBay, you see the listing you bought before is still up there. You can just hit buy again, and then you get repeat business. As a seller, if you keep ending your listings all the time, you make it really hard for your buyers to find you again, to find your items, and you're hurting yourself. Definitely our advice is to leave it up. There are misconceptions out there about ending it and you get a boost in search, but that is not true. So as Griff mentioned, leave it up, get some goodness in the search engine, and just make sure you're using tools like Terapeak to analyze your competitors and stay on top of the game.
Right. Focus on your price of your items, not their position in search.
All that stuff. Make sure you have a great photo. Yeah. You know, especially if you're promoting your listings, if your listing is showing up in more places, you want to make sure it has a good photo, something that looks clean, that is enticing for buyers so they click through. So make sure your photos are good.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on to some news, Griff.
Okay.
We posted a seller news announcement stating that beginning October 1st, 2019, eBay will collect sales tax on applicable transactions for buyers in, there's a lot of states here.
Yeah, I know.
You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Arizona, California, Colorado, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Nevada, North Dakota, South Carolina, Texas, and Utah. For states that we are collecting tax, you do not need to take any action.
That was cute, by the way.
Thank you.
You said Maryland.
What's it called?
Maryland? Oh, you Irish person, you. It's called Maryland.
Maryland.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Maryland.
Maryland.
I'm not going to edit that out. That was cute. And by the way, to clarify this internet sales tax stuff, this is a legal obligation for eBay. We have to comply with the various state laws that are going into effect regarding the collection of sales tax for internet sales. And we've seen some community conversation around whether or not a seller can or should be able to opt out of selling to buyers in this state. So let's be clear on this one right up front. Sellers cannot opt out of selling items in the states that we're collecting sales tax or out of eBay automatically collecting sales tax for applicable orders. And that is not going to change.
Sellers, make sure you stay informed on our help pages at ebay.com/sales tax. We'll include the links in the transcript. Also, if you are exempt from paying sales tax on your eBay purchases, for example, if you're a charitable entity or reseller, visit ebay.com/sales tax to learn more about our buyer exemption program.
That's lots of news this week, Alan.
Lots and lots of news this week, and there will be lots of news next week as well. You can always count on us here on the podcast team to hunt it down and share it in our weekly buzz.
Thanks, Alan. Up next, a conversation about product photography. Today on The Main Story, I'm rejoined by Monica Gamboa, eBay seller with the user ID, The Posh Hanger. You've heard her on previous episodes. She's a font of wisdom about selling on eBay, and it doesn't hurt that she's local, so she can come into the studio all the time.
That is such a great thing for me. I could just go over the hill and be right here.
It's very convenient for all of us, especially our sellers. And today we're going to talk with Monica about the perfect photos for holiday and why they are an important part of a perfect listing. So thanks for joining us again, Monica.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Remind us, how long have you been selling on eBay?
20 years.
20 years.
Yeah, so full-time, almost 10. But I started back in the day where we got checks in the mail. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. Money orders and checks. That's right. You had to wait till they cleared before you shipped the item.
Ah,
the good old days.
Good old, the Wild Wild West.
I took my packages to the postal service in a horse and buggy. It was fantastic. So you sell in the fashion category.
I sure do. Women's fashion.
And a fashion category is actually very important to have the right photo because people are very, very discerning and discriminating.
Very picky.
It's highly competitive, as you know.
Highly.
And because buyers can't try the items on or touch and inspect them like they would if they had gone into a boutique, having all the necessary details visually reflected in your listing photo is really critical.
Very.
So, and that includes any blemishes or imperfections, all of these really are important. So
yes.
I've talked enough about this. I want you to talk. Monica, can you tell us a little bit more about your photo strategies?
I have my photos set up in my house. I have an office. I have a white seamless background and a mannequin. And I do all my pictures on my iPhone, really easy. The quality on phones now has come a long way. I mean, I used to have to take my photos with the digital camera.
Yeah.
But now technology's come along so far. So that makes it really easy. When I'm taking my photos, obviously, speaking of the white background, I got to make sure I have that. And taking the far photo where everything is shown in the main picture, a close-up, and as you said, any imperfections, taking a photo of the tag, and just making sure you're getting every angle of the item. I like to use a photo editing to make sure that I get my white background perfect for that first photo. I don't edit all the photos, just that title photo, the gallery photo, because I also do want to make sure that it comes up on Google search as well as the eBay search.
And that's really important, having that white background.
Yes. Yeah. And when I first started doing and editing my photos, I did it for the look. I did it so that if somebody comes in my store, they see all my photos with the white background. And then it was later on that I saw eBay was really recommending it and Google's recommending it. So I just felt more encouraged to keep doing it.
So do you use an app at all for creating a white background,
Monica? I do now. I know you're rolling out with a new app. What do you guys call it?
Do you want me to chime in?
Yeah. So by the way, in case you weren't hearing it, sitting in the corner breathing, waiting, champing at the bit to get it, Harry's still with us because we're recording a lot of content at once. So Harry, Harry Temkin, our Vice President of Seller Experience, is here to chime in.
So yes, in mobile, we are in beta with a new image cleanup feature, which is amazing. And it allows you, when you take a photo, it'll either, if it has enough confidence in being able able to differentiate the background from the product. It will automatically clean it and give it a beautiful white background.
And that saves a big step for me because right now I am
So are you using, in the beta? You're in the.
I'm not in. Well, I'm in the beta, but I list from my laptop. And right now the beta is on the phone.
Yeah.
And I have tested it on there and it works amazing.
Doesn't it? I've tested it too.
It works so good. So that will eliminate a step for me and make it so much faster.
You know how picky I am about photos.
Yeah.
And when I started using the beta on my second, I have a second phone, it's an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
I was really impressed at how well this got it. And the places where it wasn't getting it, I could just use my finger.
So easy.
It was so
That's
easy.
It. That's part so of the new, easy. The second phase that we just launched to our beta users is the touch-up capability. Mm-hmm. So now it has an ability to zoom in on the actual product from the picture, cut out most of the background to begin with, and then you can just use your finger and swipe and either, you know, it will automatically remove or add back the background. It's so slick.
And and this will be released to a wider audience as it gets better over the coming months. So
absolutely.
If you're listening and you're wondering why you don't have it, patience. It'll be available to all sellers once it's perfect.
That eBay is rolling out is just making the listing flow so much easier. So eliminating clicks and eliminating me having to go to another tab to get what I need. It's just there in the listing.
But you mentioned you list a lot from your laptop, Monica.
And so
you do you use a separate app to get that white background?
Mm-hmm,
now, I got to tell you, as a photographer, I find it, and I've been teaching people how to do this for years, but it's really, really difficult to set up lighting to get that white background without editing, isn't it?
It is so hard. Even having a professional setup, which I do. When I first started, when I moved into my new office, I have a sister who's a professional photographer, and she helped me. We had a external flash, a expensive camera, my mannequin, the seamless white background. I bought the professional lights thinking, okay, this is going to make me have that infinity white background, and you still had to edit it.
Hmm.
Now, yes, it improved a lot, but I'm trying to push volume, and I don't have time to just keep editing each photo. So, yeah, it's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah.
It seems so easy. I just want a white background.
Harry's here, so we might as well ask him. Harry, how do you get a white background when you're shooting back home in New York there?
I use the Image Cleanup beta.
Oh!
Honestly, I put a white sheet down.
Yeah.
I try to find a wall that has a white background. It's not easy, right?
It's very hard.
It's not easy. And, you know, particularly for our consumer sellers, they're taking pictures with stairs in the background, all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you're a professional seller or just a traditional consumer seller, the Image Cleanup service will work for everybody.
Like Monica, I went from using a digital camera for years into last year started using my iPhone.
Yeah,
it's just
same.
So much easier.
So much easier.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to find out what app you were using.
Oh, I use Clipping Magic.
So there are apps out there, but do they do as good a job as the...
Yes. So it works very similar with the touchscreen.
Yeah.
So basically, I just literally highlight my image and then red highlight what I don't want, and boom, it's done.
So if people want to see your images as an example of something that's really professionally done, and I only say this because I've seen your images and they are professional, do you mind if I send them to your user?
Oh, of course.
It's Posh Hanger. Just search for Posh Hanger on eBay and you can actually see Monica's listings. And if you want to look at Harry's listings, you can see how well he's doing. Harry.
Yes.
What's your user ID again?
Gamut 44.
Gamut 44. Funny spelling.
GHAMMAT.
I want to thank you, Monica, for stopping by. It's always a pleasure to talk to Monica.
Thank you for having me.
Her user ID is Posh Hanger. Monica Gamboa is a seller on eBay for the last 20 years. And our interjector was Harry Temkin, who's our vice president of seller experience. And we're glad you're here, Harry. So
no,
please,
I
may chide you about Sean McTernan.
It's all right.
But we appreciate it.
I'm Liz Austin, and this week on Inside eBay, we are turning the tables on Griff and putting him in the interviewee's seat so we can ask him all the questions about product photography. As we focus on this week's theme, it's all in the details, and in this case, the photo details. So join me in welcoming Griff.
I'm happy to oblige.
How long have you been taking photos of products?
Well, on eBay since I started in 1996, and before that I was an amateur, semi-professional photographer way back starting in 1974. I had a film studio and a dark room, and I did my own developing and learned about the basics of photography.
How has your product photo strategy changed over that time?
You know, it's a good question because it has changed since eBay. And it's changed with the technology. As technology has improved and we moved, for example, from film to digital photography, that it required a change on all photographers' parts to learn a new technology. And even back in the early days of eBay, there were still people. This was the main way of taking photos. They would use a film camera, take a photo of their items, bring it into the Snappy Snaps or the 24-hour photo. Yes, and then bring them home and scan them on their little scanner.
Are you kidding me?
It was work intensive.
Must have taken people forever to do a listing.
It did. And then Sony released a few initial digital cameras for consumers that were affordable. The first ones were on floppy disk, and you had to put the floppy disk in your computer and transfer the photos.
Oh, a floppy disk.
And then there were different versions of digital cameras, and now most people don't use a digital camera for their photos. They use their cell phone. The cameras in the latest cell phones are as good as, if not better than, your standard prosumer point-and-shoot cameras, and they do a really good job.
I have to say, my photos now and the photos that my husband takes of me are a lot nicer. My face is less blown up. Got a bit more color.
These things are important, Liz.
They just need a shrinkage.
Yeah, right. They may come with time or with Photoshop.
With time, I think they'll be wider. So what type of equipment does a seller need in order to take the best possible photos?
Well, I'm glad you asked because it's really easy. The first thing you need is a space.
What do you mean by space?
Well, by space, I mean a dedicated workspace within wherever it is that you work. If it's in your house, in your basement, in your attic, in a bedroom.
Okay.
You need an area in that space that's closed off to all other work and is only for photos. Now, for example, I now have a photo set up in my office. It's a light box that I made on a shelf.
Okay.
I have library bookshelves that has lights in it and everything. And that's where I work, right next to my desk. And I don't have to tear it down. I don't have to set it up. It's always there. Turn on a switch, lights are on. I turn, take a picture.
So tell me, how much space is this? Because it sounds like you're asking sellers to have a big space in their workspace.
It depends on how big their items are.
Right.
If you tend to sell small things like I do, which are bottles of cologne or CDs or small collectibles, then you don't need a lot of space to do this. If you're selling furniture or you're selling big pieces of clothing, you may need a whole wall. So it depends on what you're selling. And in fact, one doesn't necessarily work for the other. So a big space for clothing might actually be too big for a small item. So you may want to have two setups if your items are of various sizes.
And is the space going to be dark?
Preferably, but not necessarily, at least somewhat isolated. Now, in the past, I've been kind of really strict on this and said you must be able to shut off all outside light so you can control the light. But in a light box situation, you can usually get enough control with whatever type of light you're using inside of it so that you don't have to worry so much about light blending in from the outside.
Okay.
The ideal arrangement is to be able to have a room where you or an area where you can shut off all the light and control the light by using only the artificial lights that you have purchased for this studio setup. But it's not a requirement.
Can we talk about lighting? What kind of lights?
Well, a lot of people, and myself included, for the bigger spaces that we may have for taking pictures of clothing, use soft boxes. And those are simple lights on stands and they call them soft because they're an expandable box where the lights are inside and they shine out of one side through a diffuser, which is usually a translucent piece of fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Those usually, not always, some of them have LEDs. But they usually have fluorescence, compact fluorescence, so they're a little cooler than incandescent. And they provide even temperature light. You buy the bulbs all rated for the same color tone or temperature. And in a closed environment, you can get great control that way. So that's one option. But for light boxes, they usually now come with their own light source inside, and it's more than adequate. You don't have to buy extra lights.
Yeah.
And I used both, depending on what I'm selling. If I'm selling clothing, I use my bigger setup with those soft boxes. But in the office, when I'm selling smaller items, I just use the light box that I've created.
Assuming you can get these light boxes on our friendly site.
You can, in fact. If you just search under the photography category, under cameras and photos, I believe, if you look in the studio section and just search for light box or soft boxes, you can find great deals. My only tips, if you're buying soft boxes, make sure that you're buying those that have at least four bulbs in the fixture. So it's a four-bulb fixture inside. Uh-huh. The one bulb fixture will not give you enough illumination.
That's a brilliant tip.
And they sell them in sets of three. You should have at least two, three are ideal, one for each side and one to shine down from the top.
You mean lights?
The lights.
Bulbs.
So that you get a wash. Well, the three soft boxes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of them come in sets of three and they're not that expensive.
Wow. Okay. So as we talk about equipment, then what kind of camera do you recommend?
In the past, I've recommended using either a small point and shoot or using a DSLR, which is a digital through the lens camera.
Yeah.
But if you've got a late version iPhone or Android phone, those cameras are working really well. And in fact, this year I transitioned away from my digital camera, which is my trusty...
What?
I did. My Panasonic Lumix, which I've been hawking and flogging to sellers for years now.
No way.
Yeah, I've moved to my Samsung.
We've heard it here first.
Yeah.
He's moved on.
So if you check out my photos today, you can see what they look like. I think they're pretty good quality for a phone. In fact, I have a process that I use now. I don't think I invented it. I think other sellers were using this. So I'll create all of the listings as drafts on my desktop. Mm-hmm. Then I'll go on to my phone and take the pictures and then add them to the drafts. And then I'll go back to my desktop, check them out, and then list them from there. But I'm sitting in one space while I'm doing that. So it's not a lot of moving around.
Wow.
And I find it really works well. I can keep on top of the quality.
Yep.
I can move quickly in batches.
Mm-hmm. So how many photos would you take at any one time?
It depends on how many aspects of the item you need to show. You can add up to 12 photos. They don't cost anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always surprised at how people get frugal and they say, well, I'll just take this one photo because I don't want to put too many up there.
Why not complicate the buyer?
No. I always use the example of a box with a lid. How many photos do you think would it take to show a box with a lid?
Oh, this sounds like a trick question.
It may be, but just think about it for a minute.
So a photo of a box with a lid.
It's a square box.
So you'd want the top of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'd want the inside of the box.
Mm-hmm. That's two.
Oh, my goodness. Then you'd want all four sides of the outside of the box.
That's six.
And then the underside of the box.
And that's seven.
And what about the inside sides of the box?
Well, those you could add as well, but at least seven if you wanted to show all the aspects.
What a great question.
So that would work with a handbag. Even though a handbag is not necessarily shaped like a box, mm-hmm. you would still want to have at least seven photos, if not more, up to 12, to show each aspect of the item. I always think of it this way. If you had this item in your shop and a buyer came in, they're not going to just look at one side, put it down and say, I'll take it.
Sure.
They're going to turn it over and look inside and look at the bottom. Well, you
so
have to
true.
Provide that experience with photos.
And would the buyer want to take a photo of themselves with the handbag on as well? So as we talk about lifestyle shots.
You saw the email thread going around, didn't you?
I did, because it's a good question.
Yeah. So what Liz is talking about is there's a big discussion internally about whether we should be promoting what we call lifestyle shots. And I say you have to proceed with caution.
Mm.
The reason is that if you're modeling your own clothing mm-hmm. or your own footwear or jewelry, or you're setting up a shot where you're trying to show this is what it looks like while I'm off to work with my handbag, keep in mind that retailers and big companies that sell this stuff and do those kind of shots pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for professionals so they get the right shot. And I don't mean to denigrate anyone's natural abilities.
I'm feeling a little denigrated right now.
Sorry. But most of us, we just don't have either the experience, skill, or the equipment needed to set up a shot that looks good.
Sure.
And in the past, for example, I've seen people modeling their own clothing. And again, models get paid a lot of money
mm-hmm.
to do this, and there's a reason.
Yeah.
Because they're good at it.
Well, then what about stock photography from the brand that the item has come from?
With two conditions. The item should be new, and you should have permission from the company to use the stock photo.
Great.
You don't want to just take a stock photo without asking first. If it's an eBay stock photo, then permission's already been given. So if you're listing a new item from the catalog and a stock photo shows up, you're allowed to use it without any ramifications. But keep in mind that even though it's stock photos are really nice, you want to instill a little bit more buyer confidence.
Yeah.
Add a photo of the item itself that you have.
Good point.
And if it's used, do not show the stock photo. Delete it.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's a great point. What about backgrounds? Why do we need them? What type of backgrounds? Is it white? Is it black? Is it purple? Is it pink? What's your advice there?
Well, this has changed too over the years, my strategy. I think in the first version of the official eBay Bible, I recommended any color that was contrasting for the item.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't quite work today.
No.
primarily not just because of the standard and the quality you want, but on sites like Google, they prefer to show items that have a white background. Not always, but in cases where there's a lot of items for a specific search, if your item has a busy or a colored background, Google may actually filter it out of that search because they give preference and priority to white.
They actually reject images that don't have a white background. So we send a whole lot of listings over to Google and mm-hmm. we pay money for what we call SEM, which is search engine marketing. So we pay for words and images and for people to bid on them. Mm-hmm. And so we send all of our listings to Google. Google reviews them. And if they're not on a white background, then they say, well, sorry, we can't use them. So they reject the listing.
Right. And it's all done by algorithm. It's not like there's a person looking at billions of listings. God, this job goes on forever.
eBay, stop sending me so many listings.
Right. But my advice is still white background. You can make white background.
Edit that bit.
I think I'll keep it in. You can use white backgrounds for just about everything. Now, there's some people who sell specific types of items where a gray or a neutral, and even sometimes a black background may make the item look better. And that's a seller call. Your item may not show up in Google shopping. Mm-hmm. But if you're trying to present it to eBay buyers from the eBay platform in a way that makes it really pop and shine, test it. See how it works for you.
That's great advice. Definitely test it out. Because I was speaking to a seller the other day at eBay up front in Chicago, which was a brilliant event.
Wasn't it?
So good.
Yeah.
Good to see you there, Griff. And he was saying that he's had great success putting his second, third, fourth images on a black background.
Sure.
So he's a sneaker seller. And sneakers look really great on black backgrounds.
That's
so he's
true.
Tested it out. He puts the white photo on the first
one,
photo.
Which
on
is the one that Google would use for
exactly.
Example.
So he's doing that best practice. But then he trialed the second, third, and fourth images on a black background. And he said it's working really well.
It's a brilliant strategy.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend that.
Ah, there you go. Take that one for free. So some sellers have expressed frustration with getting their colors right in the eBay photo. How does a seller actually accomplish that?
Yeah, this can be a real serious issue and vexing issue for eBay sellers. For example, say clothing. You may have a red sweater, and no matter how hard you try in your particular setup where you're taking the picture, the colors in the camera show maybe the wrong color red, or it's definitely not look like the actual item themselves. And you'll see sellers who will post those photos, and they'll say, the actual color is a little different. Well, that's confusing for the buyer. I understand the seller frustration because it's not intuitive what's going on. But in most cases, what's happening is they're taking a picture in natural light where there's several different light sources and each one has a slightly different tone or what we call temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the camera has a sensor in it that determines what the color balance should be based on the different types of light that are coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's lots of mixed color temperature, it has to guess at what the color tone should be. And in most cases, it'll give you something that's not quite the same color as the item in real life.
Oh.
So the way to cure that is what we talked about earlier, is to control your light. For example, my clothing setup is in a dark room.
Mm-hmm.
The bulbs are all 5,500 Kelvin. That's the temperature range, which is about midway between bright, bright blue and candlelight. So it's kind of a neutral, pure white.
Yeah.
And it works really well. I can set my camera or my phone now, my Samsung phone, to 5,500K.
Oh.
And I get very accurate color rendition.
Is that what K stands for?
Kelvin.
Huh.
You can name your first child Kelvin if you're listening.
Oh, yes, please, except that I've already had my first child. My third.
Yeah, Kelvin. That's what it is. It's a great word.
So this is sounding incredibly complex, but it's not, is it?
There's a few little things, but I think if you just keep these in mind, you'll be on your way.
And then, as you say, your phone can do it beautifully for you and on the go as well, making it a whole lot easier.
Yeah, it can. These phones are amazing.
How many photos should an eBay seller provide in a single listing?
Well, up to 12. But again, it's to every aspect, we said earlier.
Like,
so, in fact, and then another point to make is use some of those extra photos to show close-ups of the item's surface. Or if there's a flaw, point it out, take a picture, make sure they can see it. I have a shirt that I just listed, and it's a beautiful earlier Hawaiian type shirt. The previous owner loved this shirt so much that they would repair it when it got little bits of damage. So there's these little patches. And I would never sell anything in that condition otherwise. But it's just obvious that the previous owner really loved this shirt.
Yeah.
So I took close-ups of every single little repair. I said one sentence. I said, obviously, the previous owner really loved this shirt. It is a beautiful shirt. Amazing. So I want to show you where they repaired it. And people are watching it. I think it'll sell.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And it does really help drive trust with buyers, doesn't it?
Yeah,
and
it does. You're not trying to hide anything.
No, you're not. And I was watching a Gen Z use eBay the other day, and we regularly do this to see how they use the app so that we're watching their behaviors and making sure that we're tracking behaviors and we're giving them what they want. So anyway, I was watching a Gen Z, which is a super young person, use eBay, and they were a buyer. So they were searching through and they were looking at the listings. And then they were comparing a listing with stock photography in it versus a listing with several photos that the seller had taken themselves. And I said, hey, which one do you feel better about? And they said definitely this one with multiple photos that the seller had included in the listing themselves.
Absolutely.
Rather than using the stock photography.
A lot of times if you go back to a listing that's stale, that's not getting any sales, and you improve the listing details, and we talk about other details like the title and the description and the terms of service, retail standards, your return policy. But if you change the photos and make them better, the item tends to sell. So the more photos, the better quality of the photos. They can help you get sales.
It's all about the perfect listing, and it's all in the detail.
Right. Striving for the perfect listing.
Striving for the perfect listing.
Because as we said last week, I'm not sure perfection is ever absolutely achievable.
This is true. Aspirational.
Aspirational, exactly.
What about hard to photograph items like glassware or highly reflective objects like polished silver?
These can be really tricky because you don't want the reflection of the lights or worse, yourself. Like you showing up in the, here I am.
Group does not come with the item.
Right. I'm not going to be your photographer that comes with the item. But it's not impossible to do this. It's smoke and mirrors and lighting. For example, it's a really reflective, then you may need to rig up like a black cloth and then have a little hole in it where you can stick the lens of the camera in.
Oh.
And then that way the reflection coming back is simply the black from the cloth. The other thing is maybe just stand off to the side. And for some cases, like highly reflective items, you want to make sure the light is diffused. So you may need diffusers or translucent cloth between the lights themselves and the item. Sometimes it's also a matter of shutting off most of the lights and then putting the camera on a steadier or tripod and increasing the shutter speed so that you're not relying on over-illumination that's going to bounce off the item, but you're going to expose the shot longer so that it's bright enough. And that can give you a really nice shot. And for jewelry, and we talked about this in Chicago with a seller who was telling us some of her tips, she uses a really tight, hot little pinpoint spotlight that she shines on an angle into the jewelry, like the stones, to give them fire. And that's a trick that professional jewelry photographers use all the time.
Wow.
But the key here is experimenting.
Yeah.
You will learn a lot if you're willing to move things around, shut things off, turn them on, move them this way, put the lights over here, hang a black cloth. Just use your head and experiment, and you can have a lot of fun coming up with your own solutions. But simply just leaving it there and taking it over and over and saying, well, it's not getting any better. Well, you're going to have to try some new things, but it can be a lot of fun.
Be creative with it.
Be creative.
It's your creative outlet while you're listing. It's a great way to use that other side of the brain. When you're listing, it's all about the numbers and the data.
Analytics.
And then the other side is the creative side of the brain.
There you go. It's a whole brain experience.
It's a good combo. Can you list definite do's and don'ts when it comes to striving for polished and professional product photography?
Yeah, sure. Don't settle for an okay photo or a subpar photo.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not happy with it, your buyers aren't going to be happy with it. Don't get discouraged. Keep experimenting. As I said, change your camera or your phone settings. Keep repositioning your lights. If they're not bright enough, maybe add more or put your camera on a tripod. Open the shutter longer or for a slower shutter speed and get a better shot that way if that works. Always check for focus. This is a big problem. People or their cameras are set for automatic focus, but they get either too close or they set it for manual and it's not focused and it can't focus in the light and you get a blurry photo. Keep experimenting and learn what your camera or phone can do so that you can utilize it as a tool. And always use a tripod to eliminate any blur from your hand shaking while you're holding the camera. So if you're noticing that your photos are blurred, it's usually because you're moving.
Mm.
And if you put it on a tripod, you can have more stable, it's a stabilizer for the camera and you won't get that blur.
Well, show off.
Well, that's the one subject I think I know a little bit about. So,
but you got to prove to us, where can sellers go to see your current product photos?
You can check out my store at eBay. You might buy something too. That's one of the perks of the podcast.
Nice.
We can promote ourselves.
Nicely done.
So it's stores@ebay.com/Griffville, GRIFFVILLE. And you can see the photos that I've recently put up.
And what about any last words of advice or encouragement, as you say?
Yeah, thanks for asking, because I'm just going to repeat what I said before.
Okay.
Never, ever settle for subpar.
Nice.
Keep experimenting. Keep striving to learn. Use your eyes. If a photo looks less than acceptable to you, than it is to your buyers. So keep trying new settings. Keep trying new things. And in fact, one of the other bits of advice, don't be afraid to ask other sellers how they get their good photos. It's how all of us learn the basics of any subject, by relying on others who have a little bit more experience and expertise. And product photography is one of those. So don't be afraid to ask other sellers.
Well, that is all brilliant. I'm so glad I asked you all of those questions about photography. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to answer these and help sellers with their photography, because again, it's all in the detail to get us to
the perfect listing. It's my pleasure, Liz. Thank you.
If you want to learn more about taking the best possible product photos for your eBay listings, make sure you visit the photo tips page on Seller Center. And that is ebay.com/Seller Center. And then scroll down to the Explore the Seller Center section of the bottom of your page. You'll find the photo tips link there.
On the list of critical needs for any business, one that is often overlooked, especially by eBay sellers, is disaster preparedness. And given the news this week regarding the dangers that Hurricane Dorian poses for millions of U.S. citizens in the Southeast United States, our next guest's appearance on the podcast could not be more timely. Casey Kempton is the Senior Vice President, Digital Business Officer for Chubb North American Commercial Lines, and she rejoins us here on the podcast to help us better understand how important it is for any business to be always prepared for nature's worst. Hi, Casey. Welcome back.
Hi, Griff. Great to be here again.
We had you as a guest on the podcast before, but as a refresher for anyone new that is joining us, can you introduce yourself and remind our listeners just about whom Chubb is and what you offer?
Sure. So I'm Casey Kempton, and I lead digital at Chubb, focused on small business insurance. Chubb is a really large player in insurance across the globe. We're the largest insurance company by market capitalization that's public. But we write insurance in all different ways, from door-to-door life insurance in Korea to insuring satellites that are orbiting around the Earth, as well as major corporate programs. My area really focuses on the needs of small businesses and entrepreneurs, and we seek to offer products that are best suited to how small businesses work and what they want or need to protect.
You attended eBay Open as our title sponsor. I understand from other attendees who stopped by that you were able to speak directly with a lot of the sellers in attendance. Did anything surprise you after speaking with them?
Yeah, so I think we spoke to almost 200 attendees, and that was such a privilege for us. We did learn so much. One of the things that we learned is that some of the sellers either don't think that they need insurance or that their home-based business insurance policy would be sufficient. And perhaps it might be for some businesses. It's always worth really looking at that and understanding. But what we know is that a lot of home insurance policies don't cover all of the inventory that a seller may be storing at their home for purposes of their business. And it's going to be very limited in terms of the coverage that it would have for offsite if they're storing anything anywhere else in another garage or something or storage place. The other thing we learned is that many eBay sellers are very interested to talk to Chubb. They loved to understand what our products are. Many went through and quoted on our website. So we had 100 eBay sellers get a Chubb quote during our booth. And they were really keen to have protection from a company like Chubb, who's a real trusted brand in insurance.
What advice can you share with our sellers about being prepared in the event of a natural disaster like a hurricane? Or, for example, on our coast, we don't get hurricanes, but we've had a rash of wildfires that have affected much of the West Coast here in the Bay Area and the Northern Bay Area, literally destroyed whole towns, and that included businesses. What advice can you share about that?
Sure. Well, there is a long list of things that businesses should understand to prepare, as well as for how to protect their business during any kind of a natural catastrophe. And all of these are listed on our website, chubb.com, in the claims section. But I think I'll mention a few here that I think are especially critical. So first would be to develop an emergency action plan, and even someone who would be your emergency coordinator. So if you've got, say, 10 employees or so, and you need to mobilize around the event, you'll want to have designated someone as kind of in charge of all of that. Another thing is making a list of phone numbers of all your key contacts. All of us carry our contacts in our phones, and well, phones are battery operated. So under a certain length of time without electricity, you're not going to have those phone numbers. Take the time, type them up, print them out, have those phone numbers with you so you know who you need to contact, and also so you could check in on your employees and make sure that everyone's okay. You'll want to secure the outside of the building, of course, and I think especially for hurricane, there's a lot of help in the local area around how to do that and products that help you do that. You're also going to want to stock some non-perishable foods, and this is something that I wouldn't even have thought of, but I think it's a great suggestion. Maintain a supply of plastic or tarps to cover up any equipment you have that is water sensitive that you won't be bringing with you. So you want to make sure that you can protect things as best as possible. And then finally, in the event that something does happen to the building, make sure that you have proper working conditions or supplies for any emergency workers that have to come in. Flashlights, battery-powered radios, drills, saws, or anything that might be useful in that event.
Casey, how does Chubb help policyholders who have been impacted by something like a natural disaster, wildfire, or hurricane?
And that's a very understandable concern, because not every insurance company is the same when it comes to how claims are processed, how claims are responded to. The hallmark of our brand is our claim service. And we receive excellent ratings by customers and by rating agencies that evaluate companies based on their claim service. For business insurance, we're rated in the top 5, which is pretty exceptional, given how many high-quality companies there are out there. Specifically, when there is an event, our claims professionals are monitoring the storm. We are aware of all of our policyholders' locations. We know where they are, and we know the path of the storm, and we can be prepared to have the appropriate amount of resources on the ground and arriving at the right time to help our claimants through the aftermath. We aim to get on site as soon as possible, and we work directly with our insureds on restoration and how to best help them. If it requires us to provide some funding immediately in order for the individuals or the business to be in a location that's safer for them to operate, then we will do that. And that is part of that Chubb service that really differentiates us.
And another concern on sellers' mind is the holidays, and they're quickly approaching. Our eBay sellers are preparing for the holiday rush. Is there anything that sellers should keep in mind when we're thinking ahead about the holidays?
Yeah, this is a really important question and consideration. One aspect of many eBay sellers' business is their inventory. Now, if they have a lot of inventory stored on site, they're going to want to have proper insurance for that. And if during the holiday season they're increasing that inventory, they're going to want to make sure that they have proper insurance for that increase. Now, in the unlikely event of a total loss, the insurance should protect the entire value of replacing the inventory. So it's not so much the retail value of that inventory, but the replacement value of that inventory.
Casey, that's great. How can our listeners learn more?
The easiest way to find out more is to go to the website, chubbsmallbusiness.com/eBay. Or if that's a lot to type into your browser, no worries. In Seller Center, you can find the Chubb logo in many different places. So look for Chubb, C-H-U-B-B. Click on that. You'll go to an informational page. And then from that, you would be redirected to the Chubb website, where you can get an insurance quote and understand more about all the products that we offer that are tailored to small business and online sellers.
And as we talked the last time, I remember when we were talking about putting together a plan with Chubb, that you guys work with individual policyholders based on their needs and their abilities for creating a plan. So it's not like one cookie cutter for everything.
Oh, no. We offer the option for users of the website to modify their limits for their inventory, for example, and then it will show you what the rates are for those particular limits so you can understand what you're buying, As well, you can add, drop, or remove optional coverages based on what your insurance needs are. And if you want to talk to somebody about this while you're doing this because you're just not sure, there's a 1-800 right there on the page, and an agent will answer and speak to you and walk you through whatever you need, help you through the process so you feel great about what you've purchased on the other side.
Now, if you're a seller, you know very well that you wouldn't drive your car without insurance. It's a real risk and a liability. You wouldn't keep a house or own a house without fire insurance and theft. Well, the same for your business. Your business is generating your income so that you can make a living and keep body and soul together. Why would you let it sit there uninsured, especially with all that can happen, like natural disasters? So give this a shot. You're going to need business insurance. And one of our trusted partners, Chubb, is a great solution. Casey, I want to thank you so much for stopping by and talking with us.
Thank you so much, Griff. Great to talk again.
Casey Kempton is the Senior Vice President, Digital Business Officer for Chubb North American Commercial Lines. And she's joined us to help us understand, as I said, how important it is for you to have business insurance so you're prepared for whatever nature throws at you.
Thanks to our guests this week, Monica Gamboa, eBay Vice President Harry Temkin, and Casey Kempton from Chubb. And a special thanks to Liz Austin, who stepped in as our host for our Inside eBay segment.
It went well.
Thanks, Alan.
What's up for next week, Griff?
Next week, we'll focus on the perfect price with part three of our conversation with Monica and Harry. And we'll talk with the folks from WebInterpret to learn about their product, its integration into eBay, and how it can help boost international sales.
Nice. Sounds like a great show. And remember, if you want to join the fun here on the eBay for Business podcast, you can be a part of the show when you call us on 888-723-4630.
Bears repeating, 888-723-4630. You can call us any time of the day, any day of the week, at your leisure, and you can leave a question or comment, and we just might put it on the air.
Or if you prefer, email your question to podcast@ebay.com. That is podcast@ebay.com.
All right, one more rant.
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
All right, here he comes. Are you tired of me nattering on each week about seller meetups?
Yes.
Well, that's too bad because I'm not going to stop.
Ugh.
Resistance is futile. You will be assimilated. So just give up already. Surrender. Go look up an eBay seller meetup in your area. Just do it right now. You know you wanna. Yeah, that's it. Look it up. Trust me, you'll be glad you did, and you'll thank me for that unrelenting nagging after you've had a spectacular night sharing selling tips, learning from other sellers, telling and listening to seller tales of winning and woe, and gaining insights on how to ramp up your business to the next level, whatever that may be. And to top it off, meetup organizers often supply some nice nibbly bits and ice-cold bevies for your delectation. You can see upcoming meetups on our special eBay community page for meetups at www.ebay.com/meetups. Wow. There.
You should be a salesman because I am sold.
Really?
Yeah.
I should be a Borg.
I'm convinced. And don't forget to tune into our weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific time. Go to facebook.com/ebayforbusiness. And then right after the live stream, hop on over to the eBay community for our weekly community chat. It starts every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific. Go to ebay.com/community chat.
And that's our show for this week. The eBay for Business podcast is brought to you by our master cylinder of community, Brian Burke.
Our special correspondent, Jen Deal.
Associate executive segment producer, Doug Smith.
Marketing strategist, Liz Austin.
My return to the fold co-host, Alan.
Editor-in-chief and hostess supreme, Griff.
Hostess, please.
Hostess with the mostess.
Right. The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.
Hostess, huh?
There was something I was going to talk about in the ad lib. What was it? Completely slipped my mind.
Is it all our new listeners? We got some new listeners in.
Yeah, we spiked this week.
Yeah.
We shouldn't give the numbers out, though. That's probably... Yeah. We'll keep going. Let's just say it almost doubled. We don't know why.
A billion.
Yeah, a billion people tune in. Yeah. There's even people from outside of the earth tuning in.
Oh.
Yeah. We have people from the afterlife.
That's the emails we got that we don't understand. Light years. Millions of light years in the future.
That's not what I was...
Good.
Oh, brother, I can't remember. Well, it'll hit me next week's ad lib. I'll start with
tune into the ad lib next week.
Yeah. Do you think people even listen to these?
No.
No, they do. They tune in.
Unless they're probably falling asleep. They listen to those at nighttime.
Right.
And now we're just...
We'd have to say something totally outrageous. Won't work.
That won't work.
Yeah.
We'll get this show.
Yeah. Still a corporate podcast.
I like this. I don't want to go anywhere.
I like it too.